At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30. Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
No days off! No!
Is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump. Boom!
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
Does this microphone put up a little less fight than the one last night?
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Oh, Mr. Dot Commer.
On WEEI.com.
NFL Draft Preview Edition. We got Paul Perillo on to break everything down because he's good. And we little sneak peek behind the curtain. I don't know, Paul might not know this, but he has your episode. The last one you're on was our most downloaded episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So then that means that I should be asking for more money.
Yes, you should.
Correct. Okay. We'll talk about that after this one, when we break that record.
All right, Andy, what do you got? What are you going to add to this?
I was just going to say the only reason Paul's here is because Giardi was busy doing TV.
Well, and obviously your ratings were lagging with Giardi. So you asked me. Now yeah, it all makes sense.
That's what I looked at it as.
Yes. So, and I know Paul has lots of hot takes on the draft because he does more draft research than the average fan. I'm not going to say than anybody, but the average fan. So he's ready to roll with hot takes.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say I do as much draft research as many of my colleagues. And I like to make fun of the amount of draft research that is done by many of my colleagues, you know, who have, you know, various top 50, 100, 150 boards. And if you're not hitting like 3-4 Patriots picks when you're offering me 150 options, then you're really doing it wrong.
Happens every year, doesn't it?
Yep.
So I can't decide because, Paul, you know, I actually like this time of year. I like the draft. Yep. But this year, I don't know if I'm more excited that the draft is actually here or excited that the pre-draft talk is over, because it has worn me down this year in a way it hasn't in the past. And I don't know if it's the quarterback thing and the cyclical.
Oh, it's because you're involved. We're involved in it for once.
Yeah, I'm sure it is the quarterback thing, Andy. And you know that I don't generally love the draft the way that you do. But this year I found myself being very much into the process and really looking forward to Thursday night in particular because of the Patriots' place in it. It's not we're picking 25th, 27th, you know, 32nd. And as Bill always says, you know, waving as the parade goes by, as everybody else makes all the picks and gets all the shiny new toys. And then, oh, by the way, after you wait around for 3.5 hours, the Patriots are going to trade that pick and move down into the second round and you have nothing to do. You're at 15. You can do anything. Really, I think the Patriots' interest in this draft starts at the fourth pick. And now there have been some reports that Atlanta looks like they're going to sit tight, or at least that's what they're getting out there. And they're content to take Kyle Pitts at 4. But I think the Patriots' involvement in this draft starts after whoever San Francisco takes, you know, whichever quarterback they decide to take. I think the Patriots' interest really skyrockets from that point on. And for that reason, I'm much more into the entire process than I usually am.
Okay. You mentioned, you know, like the worst case scenario in past years was you wait 3.5 hours and then they trade out, blah, blah, blah. So let's start on a positive note. If I said Paul Perillo, give me the best case scenario for the Patriots come Thursday night, what do you envision?
Wow, that's a great question. The best case scenario in my mind would be Justin Fields somehow f- falls to 15 and you can just take him at 15. The best realistic scenario to me would be one of a group of players, and I'll put the receivers. I think there are three receivers that are really, really dynamic. I think there are a couple of offensive tackles. You know me, Andy, I'm not a big offensive tackle in the first round guy, but I do think it's a need. And you could say, Rashawn Slater, or Penei Sewell, who I don't think will be anywhere near around at 15. But those kinds of guys, if you could get someone like that, like Jaylen Waddle or Devontae Smith, I think Jamar Chase is probably in the Sewell category. Mm-hmm. I don't really think there's much of a chance he gets out of the top 10. I think those are great scenarios for the Patriots. And I think you also have the opportunity, if this is as offensive top heavy as it looks like it will be, I think maybe the first 8, 10, 12 picks could all be offense.
Yes.
Now you're talking about, you can get the best, second best defensive player on the, on the draft board at 15. I think these are scenarios that I think Bill Belichick would relish.
Okay. So allow me to cross promote for a second. I just posted on WEEI.com our off day podcast mock draft. And a number of the things you just mentioned came to fruition. First of all, I don't think I slotted a defensive player till 10 or 11. It was offense throughout the start of the draft, which is not groundbreaking, but no, it's interesting. And then I actually did have Justin Fields.
You had number 10. Patrick Surtain was the first defensive player, number 10.
Right. Had Surtain to Dallas, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then I did have Justin Fields slipping to the Patriots, and I didn't do it. It's not like I wrote Justin Fields in at 15 and then worked my way backwards to figure out how I could get him there. Now, I will say I didn't do the trade thing. I'm not smart enough to have trades.
I don't think that is worth getting into either.
Okay.
I agree.
But without trades, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that Justin Fields slips to 15. And I want to go there for a second simply because I had Jim Nagy tell me on Mud at Night and Michael Lombardi said it a little while later. Nah, Justin Fields doesn't fit what they want to do in Foxborough. He's not a Patriot. Dismissively so, moving right on by it. Both of those guys, which, as you know, Lombardi's a fob who used to work for Bill. Nagy, I don't know if he's a fob, but he used to work for Bill in the front office. Why doesn't Justin Fields fit for the Patriots? Or is that a blatant case of misinformation?
Well, I hope it's the latter, because I don't really understand what in Justin Fields' skill set would not, quote unquote, be, conducive to what the Patriots want to do on offense. I think he's got good size and strength. He's shown great leadership in his time at Ohio State. I think he's a good mix of athleticism and throwing ability. He's not a run first guy by any means.
Right.
This is a guy that I think you put him in a system and he develops in that system. Why wouldn't he be able to be playing at a very high level in short order? I really don't see what the drawbacks are. Now, with all five of these guys, is it realistic that all five of them are going to be really good NFL quarterbacks? Probably not. We know that the odds are stacked against probably three of them being any good. You might get one or two of the five that turn out to be pretty good, but I don't really understand in the skill set and in the tape that you watch, and you see Ohio State all the time, what about his game leads you to believe that he can't be any good? If you want to look at some of the analytics and things that like Pro Football Focus and some of the other stat crunching websites, but they say that he is as good as any of these guys and getting off his first read and perusing the defense and reading coverages. I would disagree with that. And I hope it's an effort on their part to sort of downplay his abilities to maybe better increase the opportunity that he slides to them at 15.
Where would you slot him? So I think we remove Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. They're not part of the conversation.
Right.
I think we can leave the other three as part of the conversation. How do you slot those guys as Patriots fits?
Yeah, I like Fields. I mean, I just think that he is and I think of Josh McDaniels, and you and I had many conversations with Josh, Andy. It's a real thing, his sort of desire in the back of his mind to get a hold of one of these guys that can do both.
Yep.
And I think he's one of the guys that can do both. I don't think he's Lamar Jackson as a runner. And maybe he's not, as gifted as, in terms of a pure passer as some other guys. But I think he's a pretty good blend of both. Yes. And I think he has the size that he can withstand some punishment in the NFL. He's 230-ish, right?
Well, just look how tough he was in that the bowl game.
So it's not like a guy that you say, want one of those guys running around making plays, they get hurt. Well, he's got the size to withstand. And I don't think, like I said, I don't think he's a Lamar Jackson type that's going to be rushing for 1,000 yards. He's going to run to get first downs, not to try to create the offense. So to me, he's a guy that I would put at the top of the list. I like Trey Lance also. I just don't know about his development because of the obvious things, you know, that we don't know about him. I think he has a similar skill set to Fields, but he played at a lower level and he didn't play as much. So I'm not as convinced about him.
Who the hell was that extra voice? Did he?
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
There was like a fourth voice. No. It was on the computer and it was another voice. Anyway, is your wife home? Is your wife home?
She's not. Why? Would you have a quick question?
Well, I mean, she works in the medical field, and we have this late developing story of Justin Fields' epilepsy. And quite frankly, I have no idea what to make of that.
Yeah, I didn't ask her about it. And usually I do ask about stuff like that. It was a good assumption on your part. I didn't ask her, but I will say that I'm pretty convinced by the way he talked about it, as nonchalantly as he did,
right. You
know, that members of his family have grown out of it. So I don't think that's part of the equation. I do wonder about the smear stuff, you know, and I think back to whatever, you know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, when I think it was Dan Orlovsky had sort of quoted some people that told him, you know, he's a last guy in, first guy out guy. Yep. And I've seen no evidence of that, you know, based on the way he's played. He doesn't play like a guy who's not prepared.
Nope.
There wasn't even much follow-up to that. It was just kind of Orlovsky up on his own.
Yeah, and then he said that it was from other people. But he since apologized and said, I should have looked more into it and asked other people about it rather than just taking the word of one or two people.
Yeah, I got to tell you, something smells funny with Justin Fields, the whole coverage. Yep. And I wonder if it smells funny in a pro-Patriots kind of way. Like, it just... I don't know, the Nagy thing, the Lombardi thing, the Orlovsky thing.
But then it's epilepsy. Everybody reporting that they were really high on him and they're trading up for Justin Fields. Like, there's been all over the place from different sides saying everything.
Yeah, and I don't know what to make of it, but it's weird. It's as interesting as anything in this draft or that we've seen with the Patriots in a while. And maybe all of it's much ado. I can tell you, so you gave me the best case scenario, Paul. Justin Fields falls 15. Yeah. You take him. You gave up nothing. You have your quarterback of the future. It's the off day mock. I do a victory lap for getting it right. Everything. Worst case scenario from a Patriots fan, I think. Isn't it?
He goes to Atlanta at 4.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say the exact opposite. He falls to 15 and then he falls to 16. Like,
there are some people that think that too. I think I saw someone mocked. It was one of them. One of the quarterbacks available at 32.
Yeah, it was a good buddy, Chris Sims.
Chris Sims went to the Bucs at 32. Talk about a kick in the nuts. They take Brady and Fields?
Yes, that would be the worst because even Brady doesn't project to be around for 4+ more years. So now you have your guy to replace Brady.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Okay, so Paul Perillo likes Justin Fields, wants Fields. Perfect fit. Okay, love it.
Do you?
I like Justin Fields. I told you. I've kind of given up on reason, and I'm going to be unreasonably just, I want a quarterback. I want a quarterback to what I may criticize it in 3 months, 6 months. I may see him throw in August and say, that's the guy you took with the 15th bleeping pick in the draft and thought for the here and for the now, I don't know how you can advance your Patriots hopes or expectations without getting a quarterback. Like, you're just spinning your wheels in the mud if you don't do that. So I'm all in on a quarterback.
And real quick, you know, another thing in this whole process I've grown tired of is the percentage of quarterbacks that don't pan out. Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. And it's the same is true for all the other positions that we don't chart. There's one of the numbers, and I actually did this, Andy. You know, when I get in my moods, my I'm doing research moods.
moods, or aren't you always in that mood?
I had a few of them over the last couple of months. One of them was that time frame. Was it 2009 to 2016? All the first round quarterbacks have changed teams.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went to all first round picks in that time, and 13% of them are still on their same team.
Right.
So I'm talking, you just picked like 16 quarterbacks. I took everybody. It was 256 picks. 13% of them are still on the same team.
Right.
So what happened in 2009's first round is not relevant to Mac Jones or Justin Fields or Trey Lance. It has no relevance whatsoever.
And I would also say, I mean, we've seen a change in quarterbacks, receivers, offense, drafting, expectations, fulfilling like it's just a different landscape more recently. I'm talking like the last 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, the whole thing about the playoffs, where it was either legendary Hall of Famers playing in the playoffs or first round. I heard it again. Did you hear that again?
Yep.
Yep.
Hell is, do we have somebody like lurking in our, like, do we have a fourth stream here in our Zoom?
He already he's Skyping in. He wants to make sure we're on target.
Because if we're going to get like hacked, I would like it to be porn or something cool that would jump in, not just some random meeting crossing over.
Something we can go viral over.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But so like, I almost don't care about that. But I would say, like, if you want to look at Bill Belichick has sucked at drafting receivers, correct?
Yes.
So does he stop getting receivers? Like, you still got to keep trying to fill the slot, fill the position, fill the job.
That's another one I hear people say, well, I don't want him taking a first-round receiver. Why? Because he missed on N'Keal Harry?
Right.
Right.
Like, so let's never take a receiver again? There's three receivers right now that I think will be going in the top 15 picks, top 20 picks. I'd take any of the three.
Yes.
I think they're good players, and I think it's a big need.
It's the number one need besides quarterback.
It's definitely the next need, and – obviously, Jamar Chase is the guy we removed from the conversation because you're not going to get in that. But I love Jalen Waddle. I loved him early in the year. I think people forget he was the number one receiver on Alabama early in the year. Go back and look at those games where he was just, you know, down the middle of the field, out jumping a safety for a catch in like a 200-yard effort. And he's also riding the coattails because he's been – kind of compared to like a Tyreek Hill. He's a game breaker. The explosion and the big playability. And that's what everybody's looking for. But isn't that literally what the Patriots are looking for? Like, haven't we talked about playmakers and speed and explosive opportunities for them?
Guys that can win matchups. Right. Yeah. And they haven't had enough of those guys. And I know he's not a big outside guy, but he can play outside.
Yes. He can do both.
I mean, his speed is just different. And I think that's the kind of explosiveness they've lacked. And I know that some people don't think that you need that. I think you do when you don't have Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Right.
Would he immediately slide in and be that number one receiver that they don't have right now?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, well, see, the one problem, because I'm the biggest fan ever, is he's never done it. He's never, like, his career high in yards is 500. Or, like, he's never been that wire-to-wire, give you double-digit games of great production.
He's always part of that great committee that they've had there. I mean, you go back to the names, Judy and Ruggs, 2 years ago. And then this year he had, obviously Smith, and the kid Michi was pretty good too.
But I'd also say there. DK Metcalf had like 36 catches, and he's the all pro go-to whoop the ass of Stephon Gilmore receiver for the Seattle Seahawks now. Like, just because they haven't done the actual job, and you know, there's pass rushers in this draft.
That well, anybody that play. Thought he was better than N'Keal Harry was stupid. Don't forget that.
who said that?
That would be Mike Lombardi.
I forget what show it was that played the clip of Lombardi. He couldn't even pronounce Harry's first name.
Yeah, Keneal, he called
him. He calls him Keneal.
Yeah,
although Keneal Harry.
He's not the only one. There's I believe Robert Kraft may have done that in his introductory.
And trip. I think on the game sometimes he gets, I think your boy Moose Johnston called him.
Well, I mean, you can't, a fullback could say anything at this.
That is true.
Head issues.
That is true.
What about on the other side of the ball at 15? What are some defensive players you could get on board with going there?
So here's where I go. There are a couple of positions that I go with that 2-year window the Patriots like to do a lot, where they look at, Nate Solder, we're going to take in the first round because we're pretty sure this is the end of the road for Matt Light. So they need a tackle.
Yep.
Because they have one in Trent Brown who's entering his last year. They'll probably pick up the option on Isaiah Wynn, but it's not a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So you can make an argument for a tackle. Same thing on defense at corner. You have Gilmore and J.C. Jackson right now, but you have to assume those guys are gone. You can't assume they're going to re-sign and be back. I like J.C. Horn. I like Patrick Surtain. I like them both. Farley, I know, had a terrific career, but the back problem worries me a little bit for the 15th pick. I know, you know, you go back and you say, well, Gronk had a back problem. He did, but the Patriots were in a much different situation then, where if it didn't work out with Gronk, it wasn't going to derail them. Now, right. If you miss with this pick and you take a guy you get nothing out of, that could hurt you.
Yeah. And the Gronk comparison's round two. It's not the 15 overall pick.
Right. I like cornerback. I like linebacker. You know, I really like the idea of Micah Parsons, but I don't know if Bill does. I still don't know if he likes that kind of a linebacker that seems to be more and more successful every year. And Andy probably loves talking about the guys like Devin White and the guys that play on every down.
He brings up the Bucs all the time. You know, if you watch the Bucs in the playoffs.
There's Patrick Queen. There's Kenneth Murray. There's a lot of different guys like this now.
But Bill passed on those guys in years past too, though.
Yes, Bill still seems to be fixated on the bigger, two-gapping, 3-4 type inside linebackers. I just don't know if Micah Parsons would be his kind of guy. But, I mean, the athleticism there is off the charts.
In that sort of area or mold, I'm a big fan of Zaven Collins.
Zaven Collins would be that traditional Belichick guy, yeah.
Is big, but can run. This is going to sound dumb, so don't mock me. I don't know why I saw it, but when I watched him, the first guy I thought of was Junior Seau. I think he has instincts coming out of his bunghole, Collins. Like, I just saw a guy that can freaking play football. He, to me, if you made me pick one person that I think Bill would like in this draft, I think it would be Collins. Now, I'm not saying he's worth the 15th pick. I don't know value, trade down. I don't know all that.
Trade down and take Collins. There you go. Andy Hart. Colin.
I could see – that's another thing that I think is getting overlooked. There is the chance of a trade down. I don't think anybody wants to talk about it, but if you don't get those quarterbacks, and let's just say those three receivers go and you don't have that there, yep. I think it's realistic to say that they could trade back to, say, 20 and pick up a pick in the second round when they have that 40-pick gap.
Yeah, and I think that's what your buddy Mike Giardi talked about, I think, on Monday. That makes a lot of sense. I would hate it. Because, you know, just the excitement, just pure selfish. I mean, for us, we're on the air, we're waiting for a pick, and, you know, that there's some enthusiasm for that. And I think some of that would be mitigated, but it could very well be a great move for them to move down and get extra picks and maybe even get a guy like that they want. And this is predicated. I have to think they have a group of three or four guys that they're really interested in. If they're all gone,
right,
then, you know, we're not going to know that.
Right.
But, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world.
The only flip side to that is hopefully in Bill's mind, you're never going to pick at 15 and his tenure with the Patriots. You might as well try to do that. But if, like you said, Colt's true, if you have four guys that are your guys and they're gone, then what's the point?
I like that theory that you're never going to be in this position again. Like if Cam Newton remains the quarterback, you could very well be in this position again. I'm just like, they don't have an answer right now at the game's most important position.
I agree. I think people are using aged logic. Oh, you're 15. You don't pick 15 too often. We'll see. You might pick in the top.
I've heard it, Andy, with Atlanta. Atlanta's picking 4. And, you know, people are saying, well, you better get a quarterback. Now, I would take a quarterback. If I were Atlanta, I would take a quarterback because I think you have Justin Fields. And, you know, I've already said I like him. But – well, they're never going to be in that position again. They've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. Like,
right.
They could very well be in that position again next year.
And in the NFL, you're one injury. If you don't have the quarterback or the quarterback gets injured, you can be in that position again. We've seen teams benefit from that over the years. The trading down thing and the gap. Oh, he's got a gap. So I'm going to give up a higher asset to close a lower asset gap. Like, that doesn't really, like, I don't even really see the logic in that.
Right. And I could make an argument. I could make an argument that if, you know, let's use Ryan's example. So you trade down into the 20s. So now you create a gap from 1 to 20 something.
Right.
The best 20 something players in the draft.
Yeah.
Someone could argue that gap is more damaging than 46 to 96 when you're dealing with second and third round players. Even though it's twice as big a gap, you can make an argument that you lost twice as good a player.
But if the scenario is that they have 4 or 5 guys that they like, and and then they're gone, then what's the point? Are you just taking a guy because he's at 15 because he's available, right, or are you going off of what you truly believe?
So, right, and that's why they make the big bucks. They have their board, Andy, and they stack it how, Andy?
Vertically and horizontally.
Correct.
Tom Curran wrote a story about that, and people act like he recreated the wheel. I was like, you didn't fucking know that teams – I mean, first of all, we all do it in the pre-draft process. We all fucking sit back and rank the guards 1 to 10, and then we do a
top palms in 30 seconds.
Well, this annoyed me. Oh, that was a really good, interesting – oh, really – like, if you didn't know that, then you shouldn't be interested in the NFL draft, because it's
Not only that, if you didn't know it, you haven't been paying attention, because Bill talks about it incessantly.
You and I have mocked the phrase vertically and horizontally for damn near 20 years. It's been a thing.
Right.
So and there's so many fans out there that are arrogant fans. Like they act like they're really in tune and they know everything. And if they didn't know that teams stack their board vertically and horizontally, or even just logically think, oh yeah, you got to rank all the players and you got to also rank it, like, I don't know. I'm sorry. Rant over. We can move forward now.
I'll give you another, minor rant on the quarterback thing, right? So a lot of people are like, well, if you get that quarterback, you can't just take the quarterback. Yes, obviously you don't want to take a player you don't like. And when Ryan said this just a second ago, if this is what reminded me of it, I don't want to take a tackle I don't like either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to take a linebacker that just happens to be available if I really don't like him. Since they redid the CBA, the positions are far less important in terms of damage if you miss. Like, a lot of people have it ingrained. You miss on that quarterback, it sets your organization back 5 years. Well, yeah, it could. But it doesn't have to anymore, because it's much easier to get around it and figure out a way. Like Arizona, for example, they took Josh Rosen with the 10th pick.
Right.
They didn't like him. They changed coaches. The next year they took another quarterback, and they're probably pretty happy with that. Now, is Kyler Murray going to bring him anywhere? I don't know. We'll see. But we can all agree that he's made them at least a good team. I don't know if they're a great team. I don't know if they'll ever be a great team. But it didn't kill them, is my point. They took quarterbacks in consecutive drafts, and they're okay. The Jets, well, they keep taking quarterbacks, and they can't find the right one. But their salary cap situation because of quarterbacks isn't the problem. The problem is they can't get a quarterback that can play.
Right.
And to me, to not take a quarterback right now because, well, we just took Sam Darnold. No, I think they made the right move. They said, we don't think Darnold is our guy. We're going to see if we can find Wilson. Maybe he's our guy.
So I want to make a comparison here, Paul, and it's both a realistically insane comparison, I think, but I also think it should have some logic. The Patriots traded up to get Ty Warren in 2000, whatever the hell year that was, four.
Three,
whatever year. And they did so why?
Couldn't stop the run the year before.
Correct. And there was a run on defensive tackles. They needed to get the last one, correct?
I believe that's accurate. Yeah. Guys like Gerard Warren, I think, were in that draft.
Yeah. Dwayne Robinson.
Jonathan Sullivan.
Early. Like, there was a run. And I'm assuming, yep, I'm assuming they didn't just trade up to get Ty Warren because it said DT next to his name. They traded up to get him because he was the last DT they liked that they thought could actually probably fill the need that they obviously had, correct?
Yep.
Why is that so far afield from exactly what position they're in right now, except the position next to the name is quarterback? They need a quarterback, correct?
Right.
There's going to be a run on quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
So is it crazy to think they could / should trade up and get the last one? Like, say Justin Fields is the last one, right? He's 5 of 5. He's on, like, if they like him at all, like they like Ty Warren, I think, shouldn't they trade up and get him?
Yeah, I think that the theory is 100% dead on. I think you could use the same theory and say, that's the last one of what we need that we like.
Right.
We got to go get him. The difference is, to do it with Ty Warren in 2003, you moved up a spot. To do it theoretically with whoever the fifth quarterback left that they presumably like, you could be talking about 7. So it's going to cost you a lot more to move from 15, right, to where that quarterback is,
but
than it did to get from 14 to 13.
I would also argue that the risk the reward, the cost, when you put them all together, like if you didn't get Ty Warren that year, you're probably going to still be a pretty good football team, right?
Yep,
probably.
You don't get a quarterback, you're still going to be a good football team? They a playoff team with Cam Newton?
No, but
no.
I don't think they believe that. I think they've sold themselves on Cam Newton year two with the weapons. They're a playoff team.
Well, you know what they have then? It's called dysmorphia. Isn't that when you look in the mirror and you see something different than is there?
No, don't be mean to me now.
What do you mean?
I'm a little heavy. COVID's not doing well for me.
Oh, we're blaming COVID now?
Yeah. I didn't know
COVID hit in 1998.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the theory on the quarterback. I do think it's different when you're talking not about the position more so than with the cost, because you can make an argument if you're sacrificing a pair of first round picks in the future to move up and then you don't get the right guy, it will hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me pose it a different way. Let me use a home analogy. We're all homeowners now. Ryan's joining the club. Congratulations, Ryan. Sure. Good luck. It may suck. risk reward with everything. So Paul, I tell you, you need a new dishwasher and there's one that's just like, the cost is like $4,000. You're like, what the hell? I thought dishwashers cost $1,000. Why is it $4,000? You can choose to say, you know what? I'm not paying $4,000 for your dishwasher. Nope. I'll wash dishes by hand. I can find another way for a while. And eventually when the prices come down, I'll go get a dishwasher. Now you need a new furnace. You thought it was going to be $1,800. It is 12 degrees outside, Paul. And the guy goes, hey, it's $3,800. Sorry. That's what it is. You got to pay the damn $3,800, correct?
Yep.
Thank you. No further questions.
But is the quarterback the furnace in this analogy?
Yes. Quarterback's okay. The furnace. The D tackle is the dishwasher.
It's the dishwasher. You can get by without it. I get it.
But my thing is there could be other options at quarterback, and we haven't touched on the big name, Jimmy Garoppolo. Like there are still other ways for the Patriots to potentially get their quarterback.
Yeah, I feel like we had the whole Garoppolo discussion the last time when I set records with my viewership.
Parents, yeah.
Jesus, Ryan, why'd you tell him that? I'm never going to get.
I still think there is. I think there's a hope. I think there's a belief.
Yes.
That Garoppolo's still going to shake free, and we saw the quotes. We all heard. I think the utter disrespect, and I know in talking to Andy earlier today, he agrees. Shanahan talking about five starting quarterbacks in this draft. We need a starting quarterback in any of the five. So basically he was saying, I'd rather have any five guys who've never taken a snap in the league than what I have.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't think he really meant it that way, but that is what he said.
The first time he's like, pushed Jimmy aside like that.
Right. But we also need to get back to, he's a douche. Shanahan's a douche.
Yes.
Yeah. The part that really bugs me is not even necessarily him, because I think a lot of those guys, they're egomaniacs, they're control freaks, and a lot of them have that mentality. I'm the best. But the way people just continue to just like throw accolades at this guy's offensive system, like he's reinvented the wheel. Anybody can run it. This guy can do it. That guy, this guy, all he has to do, Mac Jones, he'll step right in and he'll be able to do X, Y, and Z. If that's true, why can't he win with anybody else but Garoppolo?
Correct.
Are you telling me Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard are just that bad that the system can't fix them?
Right.
It's not even just those guys. I don't know if you saw it a couple of weeks ago, Warren Sharp had the list of records that Shanahan's had, and Garoppolo's by far.
Two guys have succeeded. Matt Ryan, who for all his faults, I still think is a pretty good NFL quarterback. And Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Those are the only two guys that have had success with this foolproof system.
So one could wonder, is it the system and the coach, or is it just, when he has a good quarterback, he does what a lot of people do with good. Oh, and that brings us back to Bill Belichick. Interesting. Full circle. Because when he had Brady, he was fine. And then when he didn't, he turned into Bill O'Brien making excuses and scrambling to defend himself and explain why they were losing. Right. They're all the same. Now, the difference I would say is the phrase that keeps coming into my head is Shanahan's arrogance is way ahead of his accomplishments. Yes. At least Bill has accomplished things. Whether he did it because of the quarterback or not because of whatever, we can get into that debate. But he has rings and records and consistency. Shanahan has the worst Super Bowl gag job ever. And he has a trip to the Super Bowl that he couldn't finish.
And one that would be considered among those, if not for his previous ventures right. in the Super yes. Bowl.
So I just, he has some of that. You're right. Mike Martz or whoever these offensive geniuses are that are like the flavor of the era. He has some of that to him and I don't like it.
But he also, he can't shut up. Like how many press conferences are they going to have?
Well, that's the other thing. Did you guys read? He wasn't even supposed to be part of that press conference.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, because that's probably him because he controls the organization. Probably didn't want Lynch to be the one out there.
Well, the local guys, I forgot who I read, said, you know, Shanahan was a late addition and not usually involved in this press conference or whatever this was. And then he goes out there and even Lynch in one of his quotes said, you know, I defer to Kyle on the quarterback position or whatever. I don't know what's going on with that relationship. Because if you remember, the original story was Garoppolo was that Lynch kind of convinced Shanahan that he was the guy because Shanahan was still lusting after Kirk Cousins or whatever. But I don't know. So we don't need to get into 49ers. We're into Patriots. Paul, what are the chances that Jimmy Garoppolo is the September starter for the Patriots this year?
I mean, I would put it at 50-50, something Ooh. Like that. I still think there's a chance. If I were San Francisco, it would be zero because they can easily afford it.
Yes.
And we've already talked about this at length. I think they have a team that is built to win now. And I think you're taking a year off of your window because I think it's highly unrealistic to expect a rookie to step in and do everything you want him to do.
See, I was of that mindset. I thought they should go the Kansas City Chiefs route. And I thought it was disrespectful to George Kittle and those guys to say, nope, we're just going to go with a rookie and see what happens. I don't know if that ship has sailed. Like to me, if I were Jimmy Garoppolo in training camp, I'd be throwing balls into the ground intentionally and saying, huh, looks like the system's not working today, coach. You better fix the system so we can start completing. Like I would be Brandon Marshall in Denver punting footballs in the middle of play. Like,
I think the time to do that for him is right now, because if he is going to put himself in the best position, he needs to move teams now. If he waits till training camp and has to go somewhere, you know, as camp is already underway, then now that's hard. That's a tough sit because he needs to play well. This is why I would hold on to him, because it's not in Garoppolo's best interest to start throwing balls into the ground and doing that. I can just sit you down if right. I want. I don't have to trade you. Like, I think for Jimmy, the best case scenario would be to play really well this year and then say, F you, pay me. And if not, I'm out. You don't want me to be the guy? You want this guy to take over? You think you can be better with him? Fine. Now I hold all the cards. I can get the contract I want and go wherever I want because I have a no trade clause.
Do you think he gets traded this week, this weekend, this?
I don't. I think
what they accomplished the other day.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
what was the point of that? Like,
you could do a great examination. Yeah. You could do a great documentary on what exactly the Niners are thinking with their quarterback situation. And I'm not talking about whether or not they like Garoppolo, but how they've handled this all with their press conferences, their comments. I think you could get a fascinating look behind the curtain to see why they chose to do what they've done.
If let's just play this out. If the Patriots don't get a quarterback in round one and they're, you know, in between Thursday and Friday comes, couldn't you see a scenario where Bill offers Shanahan and Lynch a two? Wouldn't you have to take it at that point?
I mean, I guess I would just hold on to him and play him. But if they just are hell bent on getting rid of him and they want to rid themselves of it, I don't know why you would wait. What's the sense of waiting?
I'll take it a step further. I think it's already done. I think the only way people speak with that arrogance and definition is when they know the result, when they know.
So you think Bill is probably not doing it until he knows for sure he's not getting a quarterback in the first round.
Something like that. But I think San Francisco basically knows the deal's on the table. We know I said this the other night to Mutt. I was a big believer when the Red Sox mutually parted
ways
with Cora. And remember they kept saying, we urge everyone to not rush to judgment or something. When everybody was like, oh, they're going to get hammered. I thought the reason they did that, they knew with Major League Baseball, no, you're not going to get hammered. You're not the Astros. This is going to work out fine. This is how we're going to handle this from a PR, whatever. I thought they talked that way because they knew the outcome. It's like lawyers. You know, they tell lawyers, don't ask a question in the courtroom you don't already know the answer.
Don't know the answer to.
I think Kyle Shanahan knows the answer to everything. It's why he was a douche, because Jimmy is no longer his quarterback. He's already made the deal, or he has the deal in play. He knows how this is going to play out.
He also brought up the injury. You know, we've had injury concerns. That's why we're doing this. Why else would he bring that up too? Yeah. I think that it all kind of adds up.
I think Jimmy's
you might be right. That's a very logical scenario. I would be disappointed for the Patriots if it's the Patriots that he's going to, that whatever happens in the first round has any bearing on it. Like, to me, if you have this trade with Garoppolo in place, I'd still take a quarterback if I could. Well, like, Garoppolo is not the long-term answer.
And that's a possibility. But I would also say, from a Patriots perspective, because I think some people, like, why is it not done? Why haven't you traded 46 for Jimmy? Like, get him, announce it.
Right.
Well, because that affects the way the draft could unfold in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. If teams think the Patriots may trade up to get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, that team may trade up to get Justin Fields or Trey Lance. That pushes a good player down the draft, right? Okay. So now, theoretically, you wait to announce the trade. You may have, like, lured somebody into trading up, or a couple teams into trading up. Now you get Jalen Waddle. Okay.
You get that star defensive player, because, or
Micah Parsons. But, you know, in my scenario, I like, if you told me Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback and I get Jalen Waddle at 15 to be my number one receiver to pair up with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and this new look offense, I'm feeling pretty good about that offense with Jimmy. I
certainly think that's a playoff team. And that's where I would I'd pivot to the here and now, you know, as opposed to the future. Mm-hmm. I think they could be a good team right away if that happens, because I think you also get the advantage of Jimmy's obvious knowledge in the system. It's not coming in cold and having to play complete catch up. I'm sure there are things that he doesn't know, but he has the base knowledge of the system.
What would happen with Cam Newton in that scenario?
I think there's a chance that they could release him.
I do too. I can't see him handling that well. I think it just wouldn't make any sense to sort of have him go through that either.
Well, I think he's an expensive backup.
Right.
Well,
he's a bargain as a starter, but I don't think it's necessarily a bargain if he's backing up.
And I also think Bill told us, you know, I mean, you can see we're paying Cam Newton $1 million. You don't think we'd pay Cam Newton $1 million if we had more money? Like, he can easily. No. We paid Cam this year's guaranteed money. It was for last year. We couldn't do it then. We did it now. It's not, you know what I mean? Right. So it's not even like he's out. He's not dead money. No, that's what we should have paid him last year, but we didn't.
Right. So, yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of, and this is why I'm really looking forward to Thursday night, because there's a lot of things that are going to be interesting that the Patriots aren't generally involved in. These are for the other teams normally.
Right.
This is an exciting draft for the Patriots on a lot of different levels.
Okay. Any other, do you want to move on to later round in the draft, or do any more thoughts on round one?
I want to get Andy's thoughts on a guy, Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. Like, we talk about the high end receivers. Yep. Elijah Moore is a guy I think is pretty good. He's more of a slot type. But I wonder if, you know, things just unfold normally, no big trades, no major moves. If they end up with him in the second round, I think that'd be a steal.
Well, that could be the trade back scenario. You trade back to 20 something.
Because he's sliding up now and a lot of people are on him.
I've seen him in a lot of first round mocks now.
I have too.
Which doesn't obviously mean anything at this point. You know, now, like you said, oh, that's a good second round pick. And then he's in a lot of first round mocks. So then when he doesn't go in the first and goes in the second, everybody goes, well, how did he fall to the second? Well, no.
First round talent.
Right. I liked him a lot. I put 2/3 in terms of round, but just everything got better every year. Explosive run after catch ability. He was the one, Ryan. Remember I said we all knew Elijah Moore before we knew we really knew Elijah Moore because of the celebration he did a few years ago that got the libs, I'll call them, the sensitive people all worked up because he peed on a pylon, pretended he was a dog. No, he's a good player.
You said that, people talked about the character thing and he might not have the type, but then I saw a quote from, I think it was Rappaport talking to some positional coach, said like, one of the best guys I've ever like seen, like that meant nothing.
Right. And like, I'm sorry. He did what was an ill-advised, at worst, I would say, at worst, an ill-advised touchdown celebration. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares? Like, I'm sorry. Did he, I mean, just think of all the immature things that Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield and all these other guys that they don't even play receiver. You're bringing those guys in to be the face of your franchise. They have to talk to the media all the time, be like the head of the team. I'm gonna downgrade a wide receiver because he got down on all fours, lifted his leg, and pretended to pee.
Like, yeah, and I haven't really heard much in the way of negative draft, you know, hurting his draft stock for him. To the contrary, what you mentioned, I see him sort of sliding into the first round in a lot of people's mocks now. I think Mike and I put him at the bottom of our first round, but I was holding out hope that maybe he could be the guy at 46.
The only thing I would say with him, and I don't know that it matters anymore, but like, I guess you just get out of that mindset of traditional number one receivers, like a bigger receiver and outside, like,
right.
I almost think that doesn't matter anymore because it's positionless football. Now you just put offensive playmakers on the field and move them around and score
basketball points. On grass. Wait, yes, is that not the same thing?
It's close, positionless, whatever. That would be my only question with him. But again, like these receivers that are going to go at the top of the draft, like Devontae Smith weighs like one of Paul's legs weighs. And like, you know, Jalen Waddle is not the premier Calvin Johnson type build by any means. Cause half the time those guys are tight ends. Now they're called Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, that's true. Are you as sold on Pitts as everybody?
Yes. I've actually, Ryan will tell you this. The first comparison I made was to Calvin Johnson, and he would stun me if he is not a Pro Bowl caliber pass catcher in the National Football League.
Yeah, Fred says he's a Hall of Famer. He will be the best tight end of all time.
Well, that's just stupid.
That's a stretch, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a curseism.
And I'm going to say no chance. No chance. Because he doesn't block, so he's not going to be the beast like Gronk is, and he's not going to have the longevity of Tony Gonzalez. He's not. Like, it'd be really rare for that to happen. So
that's what he said. He goes, he's going to be better than Gonzalez. That's what he told me. Okay.
He's not. He's just,
but I still would, I would have him, you know, when we do our questions, Andy, you know, who's going to be the best player of this. He's my pick. I mean, I know it's obvious. I mean, I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence just to be different, but Kyle Pitts is the answer.
And that's why I think for Atlanta, I have no problem with them taking him because mm-hmm. on a number of levels, it kind of sends a message. We're still trying to win now with the core we have.
Yeah.
And I think it's also because you now have these Julio Jones is going to get traded. Like Julio Jones was a generational talent that you can now sell your fans on. You replaced with another generational talent. I don't know if it'll work out necessarily, but that's why I think that is an easy pick for them.
Well, I also think if you look at that group of skill guys and you have Ryan and you want to keep Jones with Calvin Ridley, and then you add Pitts with Hayden Hurst, that's a pretty good offense.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, if you can somehow patch together defense, you should be in the 30s every week. And
yep.
And you should find ways to win games if you can be in the 30s every week.
Did you buy anything on the Julio Jones trade rumors from a Patriots perspective?
I'm not necessarily from the Patriots perspective because I don't think it makes a ton of sense for the Patriots.
I don't think it does either.
To add a 32-year-old receiver who's, like Andy said, a generational talent, unbelievable. But I have to think his best days are behind him, and it's a lot of money.
Yeah, but what if you get Jimmy and you know we just talked about you're in win now mode.
But yeah, you're still looking years down the road.
Right. I mean I think for 1 year he would make you a much better team. No, there's no question. I don't know how much he has left after that.
And
he already showed signs last year of slowing down.
And financially, I think that would, because I mean, if you had a $25 million quarterback and a $13 million wide receiver at this point in the process,
right?
I'm no Miguel, but I don't know if those numbers all jive perfectly on my
spectrum. No, and everybody says that, you know, it's easy. You just, you know, redo this and redo that. Well, yeah, sure. If the players all agree to it, then that's easy. Sure that's happening.
We've talked a lot about offense. You touched a little bit on the Micah Parsons options, but the J.C. Horn, Greg Newsom, Farley, compare. Is it Farley or Farley?
I think it's Farley.
What the hell was that? Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, it might be my computer.
I kind of think so.
I think there might be something running in the background. That could be me.
Speaking of porn.
Oh, no. It would be one of those annoying like NFL.com videos that you can't get to stop playing when you read a story. And it's just yelling like Giardi's voice in the background. I like J.C. Horn a lot. I think he is the modern, cocky, playmaking, swagalicious, cock of the walk cornerback.
Ryan, Andy and Paul are guilty of watching the college game in fits and spurts. Yep. And all of a sudden we catch a game and we're like, you know, some guy will stand out to us. Okay. Well, I watched South Carolina and Auburn this year, like random game, like third or fourth week of the season. J.C. Horn had one of the best individual games I've ever seen. I've been in love with the guy ever since. I had no idea it was Joe Horn's kid. I had no idea he was a projected first round pick. Had nothing, none of that. He had the kid, Seth Williams for Auburn, who is not a great receiver, but he's really big, won a lot of jump balls. They just throw it up to him and he makes plays, and Horn owned him in this game. And ever since then, I've been like really enamored with him. Patrick Surtain's a kid that obviously because of his father, everybody knew.
Right.
I think they're both similar kind of guys, a little bit bigger than your average corner, press man kind of skills, which I love, but the speed to run with guys too. Not necessarily one trick ponies. I'm going to beat you up at the line. And if I miss my jam, I'm dead. So I really like Horn a lot. And he's the guy that we mocked, Mike and I mocked for the Patriots at 15.
I think he's a legitimate possibility, especially with the, you mentioned the uncertainty next year at cornerback.
That's this year.
Could be this year too, depending
absolutely
on how it play out.
I'll give you another question that we throw out all the time, guys. Did the Patriots make a trade this week involving a player?
Yes. Which I think I wrote these questions like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think you wrote this one. This is a new one.
No, I think I did. I'll show you the old Word files, you bleep.
I don't know where I was without him, Ryan.
I don't know how you guys even function. How you guys function.
He taught me how to scout. You know, it's like
the big board. I'm sure he taught you.
Like he showed me the smoke and taught me how to scout.
Yep. That is what it is. What about the... There's like pass rushers in this draft. I don't know how much work you
do. Go back to the trade. Who gets traded?
Yeah, I think that you will see a player, but I have a lot. There's a lot of options. Like everybody talks about Gilmore and, and, you know, to a lesser extent, Jackson, you know, and now N'Keal Harry is always thrown out there. But what, you know, what about a guy like Juwan Williams?
Yeah, but what do you
know? Isn't that kind of like in the Duke Dawson category?
Yeah, but what do you get? That's just kind of like throwing it away.
No, you're just getting, I think that they have something like 76 guys on the roster.
Yeah, they have a lot of guys.
Then you add 10 in the draft, and that's 86. And I think Bill likes to bring in players to work with and develop. Well, you got to get rid of some if you want to do that.
What did they get for Duke Dawson? I can't remember.
Probably a conditional seventh or something like
that. Because that trade happened during the draft. I think before day three.
Was it during the draft or during training camp? I can't remember. But anyway, that kind of draft. Like N'Keal Harry, I don't think is going to get you much.
No.
In a trade. But I can see those kinds of moves happening.
We've talked about it with Harry. If it gets traded, it's going to be for a conditional this, a blank this, because Bill's not going to want to have on record you traded a first-round pick for a fifth.
Right.
Yeah, could be. I don't see anybody giving you anything for him, though.
I think the report out of Washington was that the Patriots were asking for a four, or that the expectation was it was going to be a four. There was some report out of Washington, but I'm with Ryan. That'll involve swapping of picks to make sure you can't completely say Bill traded a one for a four 2 years later. Like, there'll be
you can say it, but the sycophants will say, well, they got a six back.
Right. Well, I won't even say that. I'll say the player sucked, as Bill would say, the player sucked that he took in the first round. That's what I'll say.
I also don't think Gilmore is getting moved. It's there's no, like, what value does he add?
There's no market for him.
Right.
He's hurt. Correct. And this is another one, you know, I was at the end of the year, he got hurt in the Miami game. I think that was like, was that the 15th week, 15, week 16, 15. Week 15, they right?
Bills and Jets after.
And the game was barely over. We're getting ready to do our post game, Mike and I, and our buddy, Andy, the crap sheet, comes rallying to the defense. Minor injury, nothing to worry about. He'll be fine. And I'm like, that's a load of crap. Like, the guy isn't even off the field yet, and you're telling me that he's okay. We all know what they're trying to do. They're going to try to trade him. We all, it was no secret. Everybody knew they tried to trade him at the deadline.
Right.
And they held on to him. And now they have damaged goods that they can't move. It's no one's fault. The guy got hurt.
Right.
But first of all, I think there are very select few teams that would be interested in a 30-something-year-old corner. You have to be good. And you have to have money. I don't think there are a lot of teams like that. So what is he worth to you now? So now I got to give you a first-round pick. I got to give the player, I don't know, $35-40 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can play because I can't work him out. He's not healthy.
Right. But doesn't that almost, like, doesn't Gilmore have to accept that too?
Right.
Like,
I think he's done himself a disservice if he hasn't gone to his agent and say, I just want to go somewhere. I'll play and I'll prove it to you. And then you can give me the contract.
Right.
Like, I'll prove to you that I'm healthy first. I'll work with you. It seems to me like the only way that's going to happen is here. That's why I think he's going to stay.
Yeah. And I mean, depending on how everything else plays out, Ryan and I have talked about this. Originally, it was like, I thought the best case scenario was trade him to somebody in the end of the first round, a team that's kind of a contender that he would fit in on, help them. After the free agent spending, and if you are of the mind that Garoppolo, I mean, what did Adam Schefter say on EEI, our station this morning? Like,
it's based in New England or nobody.
Right. So if there's this belief that Garoppolo, a Super Bowl quarterback, is going to be the Patriots quarterback, well, if you're Gilmore and you're the Patriots, like, maybe we're still sort of made for each other at the current sort of circumstantial time that we're in.
Right. I agree with the Patriots thing. I think it's looking more and more like that because I don't think they want to just give him away. I think they want to get something in return for a guy they know still has value. He can still play at a high level. I'm interested about the Patriots or nobody for Garoppolo. That sounds another, you know, we sort of try to interpret where these comments come from and who stands to gain from them. That sounds like something that came right from the Patriots. Like, because if we're going to look at this and say, well, the Patriots don't want to make that move until after the draft, so after the first round is complete to make sure they say, well, if you're Denver, you're not going to be interested in that.
Right.
If all of a sudden at 9, you can't get a quarterback that you want. Oh, well, what are they going to give you? All they want to give you is 46. We'll give you a 1.
It's not even Denver. There is a lot of teams, I think. People don't think he's going to have a market. I think there are plenty of teams that would take Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, Chicago,
New Orleans. I think even Pittsburgh to an extent.
Washington.
The finances are part of that issue.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, the finances are part of the issue for everybody. The finances are part of the issue for the Patriots.
No, I know, but it's more of an issue for some than others, I think. But You mentioned earlier when we were talking about Garoppolo, like, it behooves him to get it done sooner rather than later, get to a place you can be comfortable, make your money down the road. But isn't the Patriots a ready-made late arrival because of his comfort?
Yeah, he would have more of an ability to come late here than anywhere else. That, I'll say, is best for the Patriots. But in terms of the money, if I'm Garoppolo, I think that's an interesting part of this too. Like, do you want to go bad enough that you'll give up your contract? I wouldn't.
No, I would not.
Especially with his injury history.
Right.
You know, he comes here. Let's say he slashes his salary to come here, and then he ends up playing 5 games.
Now he's down the crapper.
He's got nothing. Like, to me, I would hold on to that $25 million come hell or high water. And if it means that I can't go where I want to go, so be it.
And I also think if I were him, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know what his relationship is with Bill at this point and what that two-way street of lust is or whatever. But if I go somewhere else, don't I leave the Patriot door ajar to some degree? Like, if I go to Chicago and it doesn't work in Chicago, don't I still maybe have the last ditch effort with New England?
Right. But if he can flame out somewhere and still come here.
Right. Because
it'll be different with us, because we all know. They all get better when they come here.
Exactly. But if I go to New England and what you said happens, maybe I'm not all that good. And then I get hurt. Now my career might be coming to a close.
Yeah. There's a lot to, you know, we sort of talked ourselves into this as we've gone around and around as to why maybe Jimmy hasn't been as outspoken negatively as he feels like he probably has a lot to prove.
Right. But still, I feel like he's getting his nuts kicked in every time.
We've talked about this even with Girardi. Like, that's surprising that there's been no leaks from his side. Nothing. Like, that's just.
Oh, no, absolutely. Very surprising.
His dad needs to do it or something, like Brady's dad does.
Oh, just get Mr. Brady to do it. He's good at it.
Plus, Don Yee calls him.
They like him.
I got a job for you. Oh, somebody ripping Tom again? No. It's Jimmy I need you to defend this time.
Got it. I'm on it. He's good at it, too. He does it well.
He is very good at it. Okay, Ryan. So as we close this, I'm sure as the host, you had some closing questions prepared to summarize everything. What do you got?
I had one question. I think one works.
One? You in the back?
What do you got? Okay, what do you got? When all said and done, did the Patriots pick at 15?
I think they're going to pick at 15. I think when all is said and done, they are not able to move up to get a quarterback, and they'll sit tight and get a good player.
Thanks, Bill. We've got a good player.
I'm with you guys. I look at all the offensive players. I think you have a chance to get a really good defensive player, and that makes sense to me. And if someone drops out of those top players, because if you go five quarterbacks, two tackles, three receivers, a tight end, you're going to get a good player on the defense, right? I mean, it's just the numbers. It's a numbers game.
Doesn't Paul Perillo tell me that defense doesn't win titles anymore?
Got a breaking quarterback news not relating to the Patriots.
Well, what do you got?
What do we got?
The Panthers are trading Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos for a 6th-round pick.
So wouldn't that tell you that they're not going to draft a quarterback?
That's how I would go with that.
Like, if they're going to
they could take Trey Lance.
Oh, I would take the Broncos. Yeah. I don't know. Like, do you think Carolina will take a quarterback? Because I think they could.
I think
definitely.
And they just traded for a quarterback.
Yes. But in Denver, like, you now have, I'm assuming they haven't totally closed the door on Drew Lock.
No.
Right. They have two guys.
A second option that you either like or kind of like. I don't love it for them personally.
No, because I think Teddy Bridgewater's done.
Yeah, but a 6-round pick.
Done like dinner.
He was never good.
No.
He was manageable, and I think the injury sapped him of some of his mobility.
You were never going to win a Super Bowl when he was healthy. Never mind now.
No, I agree.
So isn't that the point? Aren't we here to win championships?
I'm trying to relate that. Does this trade make it more likely that Fields will be available?
Or yes, less? It does. Yes, 100%.
Well, somebody. I mean, whether it's Fields or somebody. Yes, I agree with Andy. Yes.
The Patriots just got a better chance to get a quarterback.
Yep.
Well, I was just going to say that Denver now could be a team that somebody trades up to, like if it's Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, like I think there's a lot of teams behind the Patriots that might be more desperate to move up. I think Andy talked about that. One of the reasons why they wouldn't worry about making the trade now. They want to wait to see if maybe they can get people to move up, and that makes a better player available for you.
Ryan, you brought up Pittsburgh. How come nobody talks too much about Pittsburgh?
As a quarterback destination?
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're not in a position to get a quarterback.
In terms of like where they're picking?
They're way down.
No, they're 23, I know, but okay. Trade up.
I mean, to your point, you know, Kansas City did it. Houston did it, right?
Like, yeah. You can do it. And
you can get into the teens from the 20s.
Kevin Colbert's a guy, like, he doesn't trade first-round picks. And then he said, wait, I like Minka Fitzpatrick. He's good. I'm going to trade this pick. Like, when the quarterback is involved, it's like I argued with this guy, Pony Boy, who filled in for Tangway on Sunday.
Pony Boy.
I don't know who he is, Paul, so don't ask the question.
You just have random guys that just show up and fill in for shows.
I don't know. He's from Pittsburgh. I don't really think he even liked me calling him Pony Boy, but he was too, I don't know, not willing to say, stop calling me Pony Boy throughout the whole thing. His name's Pony, P-O-N-I or something. So obviously, the first thing I thought of is Pony Boy from The Outsiders, Stay Golden Pony Boy or whatever. And I don't think he liked it. But anyway, he was like, you know, Bill's not going to trade up for a quarterback. He never has. He never has.
That's dumb. I mean, like, that's dumb.
That's the dumbest.
That's colossally dumb.
That's like saying, you know, Bill's not going to take cholesterol medication because he never has. Well, now he's 69 and maybe he needs to freaking take cholesterol medication before he dies.
I love Andy's exaggerated analogies. They're awesome. We miss them. We miss them on Patriots Unfiltered.
You like the dishwasher and furnace analogy.
That was good.
It was good. It was good.
Thank you.
So did you work that one all out beforehand?
No, Fred? That was fresh off the top of the head.
Good for you.
That was original.
Do we want to do like a last question, or I got another one that came to mind.
I can't. It's a random bold, or a football one?
Random, but not random. Random to the draft.
Okay.
Bold prediction for the Patriots. Anywhere, like, could be day one, two, or three.
Bold.
Bold prediction.
Paul, you
can go. What qualifies as bold?
Trading up for Justin Fields. I would even say acquiring Jimmy Garoppolo is bold.
They take a running back relatively high.
That's not bad, Andy.
I could see that.
I think there's some good running backs in this class. And I'm not saying necessarily Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, but there are a handful of backs that are probably going to go in the second and third rounds. They're going to take one.
I like the North Carolina guy.
Why, Javonte Williams?
No, the other one.
You like
pass the catcher. The pass catching one. Michael Carter.
Wait a minute. Did you watch
the I like them both.
Did you watch the Miami game?
Probably.
Well, that was the game when they had like 600 yards combined between them or something. Set the all-time
record. They're good. They're good players.
I like them. But that's my bold prediction. They take
Gainwell from Memphis is another one of those Jimmy White kind of guy.
Stop avoiding.
I'm looking at the big board.
Yeah, well, now
stop avoiding the question.
Bold prediction.
I don't have a bold prediction. I mean,
all right, I can sub out this question then.
How about they trade up, but only a couple of spots, and it's not for a quarterback.
That's bold.
Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, well, someone like that that they really
that
like.
Who was it? Pete Schrager, I think predicted.
Yeah, Peter Schrager had that. Yeah.
Can I sever ties with that then?
No, you can't. You're aligned with Pete Schrager. You guys look alike.
I got another.
I already told you. I think they're going to just sit tight at 15.
Matt Patricia. How involved is he in this? Is he going to be in the war room tomorrow night, Thursday night?
I would think that he'll be in there. Yeah. I think that I think this is an interesting situation. We could as Andy just has random stuff going on.
I know again.
What do you guys think of Patricia's presence to me reeks of not wanting to just put him back on as defensive coordinator? Because of other reasons.
His son is the
de facto defensive coordinator, and it looks like it's a demotion to either him or Gerard Mayo if you put him back in place.
Or what if he realized he sucks as a coach and he's probably better as a personnel guy?
Yeah, I think this is a weird situation that all of a sudden he's coming in, he's like the
concierge. No one forced him to come back. He could have said, we're good.
Besties.
They are.
They're besties. Like, that's why it's a weird situation, because I'm not sure where the professional relationship and the personal relationship butt heads.
Yeah, I'm not sure he had a lot of options, by the way. I think he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
But he didn't.
Time in Detroit.
Isn't he still getting paid by Detroit?
Yes.
So he could just done nothing this year.
Right, but he comes back and he gets to stay in the league.
Right. He stays in the league. He gets back with his bestie. They get to work. They go to Nantucket together.
But if Paul's saying it's uncomfortable, then why put yourself through that?
I think that they avoided the discomfort by making this sort of front office kind of move.
Right.
So his future in the NFL is not as a future executive /GM.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, but you look at Nick Caserio, he's done both. Maybe Matt Patricia can do both the other way. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like a weird thing to me at this stage of his career to go from working your way up the coaching ranks to coordinator to a head coach, then you get fired as a head coach. Oh, you know what? I'm going to be in personnel now.
But
that's what I was meant to do all along.
Don't we also think, well, first of all, they have done it. I mean, Brian Flores did it in the other direction, but they have plenty of guys that have kind of done both. But also, it was a weird offseason in which you lost your right-hand man. You lost Nick Caserio, right? So there's a transitional phase here, and he has a significant knowledge of the organization. I don't know exactly how much role he had in personnel draft prep the first time around. He's a smart guy.
You guys sold me. You guys sold me. Nothing to see here.
But I also do think the fact that his son – I personally think if Steve Belichick were not the de facto defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia would have been brought back as assistant head coach something, like defense, secondary, linebackers. Yeah. I mean, that's what Bill did. Remember when Bill, they didn't want him to step on Al Groh's toes and kick his shovel over or whatever. So he had to be the secondary coach, assistant head coach, right? But I think because it is his son, he would probably say, no, no, it's got nothing to do with that. It's my son. There's a weird dynamic there. I do. Plus, not only is this his son, so now it's his adopted son, Matt Patricia, and his son's son, Steve Belichick, are the two guys. Like, they probably hang out making s'mores together on
the his other son, the player's son, Gerard Mayo, is involved too. Like, you could say.
You're right. There's a third son. This is like my three brothers or something, my three dads, whatever the hell. So, like, yeah, it's a little weird. You're right. It's good job, Paul. It's weird. There's a situation there. We should keep
track. Just think it's different. But you are right in that they lost Caserio, and I hadn't really thought of Flores. So that's another guy that they've had. So it's that's three guys now that have done that sort of change. So it's not unprecedented.
And look at Bill himself. I think when Bill thinks Bill could do it all, right? He runs the draft. He's the coach. He's everything. I think when Bill, what's that face for?
I have a question for you guys. But you can finish.
So I just think when Bill likes, trusts, respects a guy football-wise, he doesn't necessarily see that like drastic line between coach and talent evaluator. I think Josh is a perfect example. When Josh came back and Josh got Bill's world opened up to him, that meant you're in the war room. You're sitting next to me, right? Like, so there's, we may say, oh, there's front office and then there's coaches. I think Bill says, are you a football guy or are you not a football guy? Because I don't really need to differentiate between whether you blow a whistle or write on a tablet.
Yeah, I think Josh and Matt will be in that room again.
Me too.
Well, for Josh again. But
I think they're ahead of Ziegler, personally. I think it's Bill, Ziegler.
You could be.
I mean, those guys, then Ziegler.
The question that I wanted to ask was that I just thought of when you were in the middle of that Bill thinks he can do it all thing. How much are you buying into all of this that they're trying to force feed us about the changes?
Not at all.
You know, none. Much more receptive to her. Okay.
None.
I'm with you. I just feel like they're trying way too hard to make us think that Bill's not the only one making this call.
Collaborative. But I heard the word collaborative thrown out.
More of a collaborative.
Collaborative. And then Rapoport said that Ziegler has been, he's brought a more open-mindedness to things.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Not buying it.
Nope.
I mean, nothing about Ziegler that I'm not buying. I'm not buying that. Bill and Bill alone will be making this call. I think that there are guys, and Andy brought up McDaniels. I think that Bill respects Josh's talent evaluation. I think for the quarterbacks, as an example, I think Josh has been a big part of working these guys, you know, watching the workouts, being involved in this process. Bill, I think, ultimately, and Bill alone will make the call.
But do you also think that he could be using this as a positive? Like, if they have a bad draft pick, oh, well, he wasn't my guy. That was their guy.
It was collaborative.
Right. It's a win-win.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think there's been some of that with the scouts. Like, who tells all these reporters about how Bill overrules everybody? Scouts.
Right.
Disgruntled scouts that are looking to wash their hands of N'Keal Harry and others.
Or
in Rossi Dowling. Well, no one had Rossi Dowling there. Bill just came in and took him. Oh, convenient. That's your job, and you screwed it up. Oh, let's just blame the head coach. You know, I do think there's part of it that goes that way. I think Bill always has been the number one voice, and you know, it's him, and that's it.
It just came to me, Paul, and I know you like these since my home run of a dishwasher furnace comparison.
Correct.
I think Bill treats all his personnel guys. I really don't care if you name Scott Pioli or Brian Smith or Elliot Wolf, or whoever you are. I think he treats them all like I treat my GPS. When I don't know where I'm going or I need information, I very much listen to the GPS. And then when she goes, you know, take a left here or go down this, and I go, you're an idiot. I know a better way. I know where I am now. I'm is that it? Does that work?
Kind of. It's another good one, Andy. It's another good one for Andy.
Two for two today.
Nailed it.
Save that. Save that. Use it for radio. It's a pretty good one.
Okay, I'll save it. I got plenty of chances the next few days.
Thanks, you sure do.
Well, I'll be breaking out the furnace tonight. No lie. I mean, tomorrow night. No question.
It's good, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah, I'll break out the furnace.
Paul, while
I'll screw it up like Fred.
while Jimmy Garoppolo was being disrespected, on the same radio show where I was defending Jimmy Garoppolo from the disrespect, I realized I was being disrespected. And Ryan, to some degree as well. Ryan, have you heard the preview promo thing they've been running on the station about our draft day coverage?
No, I haven't.
When it says tune in to and check it for our in-house draft experts. I'm sorry, I got a freaking name. My name's Andy Hart. I am your in-house draft expert. If you want me on the midday show, the afternoon show, the night show, and the post-draft show, the least you could do is say my goddamn name in the promo.
In-house.
Ryan, I'm going to make him do a quick hit in the middle on our show, too.
You should. Okay.
But at least I'm an out-of-house draft expert for your purposes.
I'm not peeling you as any kind of expert, believe me, unless you want to talk about furnaces and dishwashers.
Well, you know, do what I can do. I've been doing some do-it-yourself projects, finishing the basement. So, yeah, I'm expanding, looking into flooring today.
There you go.
All right, we done here?
Yeah, any closing thoughts?
Just looking forward to it. Like I said at the top, this is the first time in, I think, since like 2001 that I've been this excited about a draft.
And isn't it the most, I wrote a column the other day that this is the most interesting critical draft since 2001. Like, this is like a crossroads kind of draft where you're at a fork in the roads. And before that, I think it was obviously the Drew draft. You got the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. You need a franchise quarterback. But this is that kind of draft. We haven't experienced this because you blow the Seymour pick. You blow the sixth pick in the draft as a 5-11 team. Who knows where things kind of snowball from there.
Yeah. This,
we haven't seen this for a couple decades now.
True.
Yeah, Seymour could have been Jonathan Sullivan.
Right.
Then what would have happened?
Future Patriot. Then they couldn't trade for Jonathan Sullivan later. Who knows what you do?
All right. We'll see how this all plays out. Should be exciting. Listen to the radio. Andy and I will be on post-draft 11:30 to 2 a.m. on Thursday. Andy and Scheim and Brian Barrett Friday. And Andy on Sunday. So a lot of Andy on the radio coming up.
Not Andy. Excuse me. It's in-house draft expert.
In-house. Yes. And Paul, what do you guys have? You guys doing your live show tomorrow night?
Yeah, we'll be live, Patriots Unfiltered, live during the entirety of the first round, starting at 7:50 until the draft is over Thursday night. Friday night, we'll be on at 7 to 10.
Yes? You start at 7:50?
Yeah, it's a video thing.
At 7:50?
Yeah, we can only do it for a certain amount of time.
Everybody in the world starts on the hour and the half hour, but you guys are too smart for that.
That's because we have to do video, Andy. Much bigger now that we don't have you around. You used to block out the whole camera.
Okay.
Your head like this.
I got you. Hey, you guys aren't at a party, are you? Is there a party?
No. No, we'll be in the radio studio.
Okay. I look forward to it.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.